This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. All right, my friends, what's going on, everybody? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. Welcome to another episode of the Learn Jazz Standards podcast. Excited to be here answering your jazz and music questions 5 days a week. Help you have more fun than ever playing music. And of course, fast track your progress to becoming a better jazz musician. Start playing those jazz solos of your dreams. Today, we have an excellent question. And that question comes from Jeremy. Let's give it a listen.
Hello. What are some strategies to learn how to improvise over the standard Giant Steps by John Coltrane?
All right. Giant Steps by John Coltrane. How do you improvise over this song? This remains a mystery to many, many, many people. And this is considered one of the most difficult jazz standards ever to improvise over. Okay. Giant Steps. It's notorious for it. I mean, even if you listen to Tommy Flanagan on the original recording, Tommy Flanagan, the pianist, of course, you know, it's my understanding that at least legend has it that John Coltrane sort of handed them that chart the day of the recording session. I can't confirm if that's 100% true, but either way, what we do know is that Tommy Flanagan felt a little bit flustered when it came to his solo. If you listen to that original recording, in fact, you kind of hear him like peter out a little bit at the end of his solo. Like he's clearly struggling to keep up with the speed, with the chord changes. I mean, these are very challenging chord changes, even for, you know, the best musicians out there. Right. And of course, you know, feeling bad for Tommy Flanagan, because of course he recorded some versions of it himself later on and he sounds amazing on it, right? But that just goes to show you that this is not an easy song. It's not an easy set of chord changes. And absolutely, it can be a little bit complicated to think about. But I do believe there's ways to make this simple. Funny enough, we actually did study this song in our Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle membership. For those who don't know, we study a new jazz song every single month in the Inner Circle. At least that's the main thing we do there. And I remember the year that we announced that we were studying Giant Steps, and some of our members were like, "What? Why are we studying Giant Steps? That's crazy." The reason I wanted to study Giant Steps is because there's actually a lot of really cool, awesome lessons that we can learn. So I'm going to give 3 tips for how to better improvise over Giant Steps and think about improvising over Giant Steps. And the very first tip that I can offer is simply to understand the harmony. And I'm not saying this as an answer to hope to disappoint anybody, because when I hear the original question, I imagine Jeremy is like, "Oh yeah, please give me like a bunch of like patterns and strategies," and we'll get to those in a second. But honestly, once you understand how the harmony to Giant Steps works and you stop thinking about it as just individual chords, it becomes so much easier, right? So if we look at it, it's B major 7 to D 7 to G major 7 to B flat 7 to E flat major 7. That's just the first 3 bars. So B flat major, D 7, G major, B flat 7, E flat major 7. If we just look at that right now, first we have to realize we're in the key of B major 7 to start with. Then we have a 5-1 to G major, and then we have a 5-1 to E flat major. Okay? This is super, super, super important. So pay attention here, because honestly, this could change the way you understand Giant Steps forever. Giant Steps is simply 2 5-1s and 5-1 chord progressions and 3 keys. B major, G major, and E flat major. Okay? B major, G major, in E flat major. And as soon as I realized that, the song became so much easier because I realized in all the other jazz standards that I was working on It Could Happen to You, There Will Never Be Another You, All the Things You Are, fill in the blank. What is the most common chord progression that comes up all the time? The 2-5-1 chord progression, or if you want to shorten it, the 5-1 chord progression. What do you spend most of your time learning and trying to improvise over when it comes to jazz standards? The 2-5-1 chord progression, or if we want to shorten it, the 5-1 chord progression. So as soon as I like realized that and said, let's forget about the tempo of the song for a second. Let's forget about the speed at which the chords are changing and simply realize that we are cycling between the key centers of B major, G major, and E flat major using 5-1s and 2-5-1s, suddenly I realized I need to use my 5-1 language and my 2-5-1 language that I'm learning on any other jazz standard, all the solos I'm transcribing, the etudes I'm learning, the licks I'm, you fill in the blank. I just need to focus on that, right? That really helped me think about it. So then it's like B major to 5-2-1, right? It's like over that D7 to G major, I could play like an altered idea note, right? That's the D7. So I could start with like, right? That's just over the B, right? That's just over the B major 7, D7, G major 7. I can play 5-1 ideas, right? And then even over the B flat 7 to the E flat 7, I can play that same lick, right? I'm not suggesting you just copy and paste licks over top of it. I'm just providing the example of, hey, if I know 5-1 language or 2-5-1 language, I can play giant steps, right? Because it just continues that cycle, all right? We get to the E flat major 7, then it goes 2-5-1 to B, G major, then 5-1 to E flat major, then 5-1 to B major, and then 2-5-1 to E flat major, 2-5-1 to G major, 2-5-1 to B major, 2-5-1 to E flat major, and then 2-5 back to the top of the head again. Once you break it down to understand that, in my personal opinion, you've automatically simplified giant steps in a huge way. And that has nothing to do with licks or patterns or anything. That has simply to do with just going, wait a second, there's three keys in this song and there's 5-1s and 2-5-1s. And once you do that, things get a lot easier. Now, what's the problem with giant steps though? We all know it. It's going at a fast tempo and it is going by fast. That's the problem. The chord changes are going by fast. It's not if all the key centers wasn't a challenge enough, right? It's the speed and the speed at which the chords are changing. That's really what makes giant steps difficult once you get past the whole 5-1-2-5-1 thing. So tip number two is so simple, once again, that someone might get mad at me. But it is, if you want to improvise better over giant steps, slow it down. Slow it down. Slow it down. Okay? Repeat after me. Slow it down. Right? There is a Pat Metheny recording, I believe, of giant steps, right? It's like a slower bossa version. If Pat Metheny can do it, we can do it too. And guess what? We can slow it down even more than that if we want, because we can do whatever the hell we want when we're practicing. Does that make sense? So once you go, no, giant steps is actually a ballad. Oh, hold on a second. Now this makes a lot more sense, because if you look at any ballad, right, the chords are always moving at the same speed, you could say, or at least duration, as giant steps. It's like two beats, two beats, two beats, two beats, one bar, right? So if you make giant steps a ballad to start with, then you can really start exploring those 5-1s, 2-5-1s in those different key centers so much better, right? Again, it's like you're practicing your other jazz standard stuff. You're just applying that to giant steps, but just do it slow, right? Because if you're hoping to try to play giant steps right away at original tempo speed, and if I just improvise over this 100 times, I'll be good at playing it. You're wrong, right? You're wrong. You have to figure out how to digest these chords and start working through them. So first, it's understanding what the harmony is. Second, it's slowing it down. And absolutely sure, building up the speed a little bit, right? Getting the speed up to like a medium swing, right? So that it's like, right? That's a little bit more achievable than the ding. Right? That's so fast, right? I mean, even me just playing that. So fast, right? But that's what they're playing on the record. But if we can get to a medium swing, that's a good challenge, right? Then we can get it to a medium up, right? And so that's how we work it, right? We take away giant steps from being complicated in the first place by simplifying the harmonium and by slowing it down. Okay, last but not least, let's just address the elephant in the room. But Brent, you're supposed to play giant steps fast. Okay, great. So now let's give you an actual jazz improvisation tip, tactic you can apply here. And that is patterns. And that's no secret. A lot of people will tell you patterns over giant steps. And why do they say that? Well, that's because that's what John Coltrane did, right? If you listen to definitely the start of his solo on giant steps, he's using patterns. So here's two patterns you can use. The first one is 1, 2, 3, 5, right? So we're thinking about the scale of each chord. So for B flat major, that's 1, 2, 3, 5, right? So if we do that over the first four chords of giant steps, it sounds like this. Recognize that? Like that's what Train was doing, right? Over his solo. And so there you have like just a simple melodic pattern, melodic device that you can kind of use and think about to start working through the chord changes at that fast of a tempo. Because it, you know, the elephant in the room also here is like, yes, when we slow it down, we're able to play the changes better. But the thing you have to realize about, you know, slow playing versus fast playing is you're going to play different stuff, correct? You have to approach fast tempos differently than you would slow tempos. The great Peter Bernstein once told me that, and it really resonated with me. It's like, do you really think you're going to be playing the same stuff you play at a medium swing tempo at a 300 BPM tempo? No, you're going to have to adjust your strategy a little bit. So here's another pattern as well. So this is a 5-6-7-9 pattern. Again, just using the notes from the scale. So it would sound like this. Right? So that's another pattern that you can think about when we're talking about navigating these changes at that fast of a tempo, right? So those are three strategies. Just to quickly review is understand the harmony, break it down to 5-1s, 2-5-1s, 2, slow it down, 3, use patterns when we're talking about playing it at a fast tempo, okay? All right, that's all for today's episode. Remember that knowledge without action isn't really knowledge at all. Remember that lots of practice time isn't near as good as just a little bit of really good practice time. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Really do appreciate that and don't want you to miss anything going on here. We'll see you in tomorrow's episode. Until then, happy practicing and cheers. Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask or find the link in today's show notes.